The scripture reading this evening is 1 Kings 17, 1 through 7, and then the text is verses 2, verse 7. It's on page 379 in your Bibles. We look at Elijah again. Last Sunday evening, we saw Elijah confronting Ahab, and now we see Elijah hidden. God hides the rugged reformer. The hiding of Elijah, the care of Elijah, and the proving of Elijah. Listen to the word of God. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishba in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan. And ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. So far the reading of the word of God. Before we open this word, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our gracious Father, you are able to command birds and fish and any of your creation to do your will. Lord, help us to see how you have hidden your prophet Elijah and fed him by the ravens, and that he might drink from the brook. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are our God, that you love us with an everlasting love, and you've sent your Son to be greater than Elijah, to be the one who feeds us with your food and drink. Bless us this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, Elijah was a rugged reformer. Elijah was a man of God. He lived very close to God. We don't know very much about Elijah. We know that he was of the town of Tishba, and that's about it. We don't know anything about his parentage. We don't know what tribe he was from. We don't know much at all about Elijah, but we know that he was a man of God, and that he is remembered by us in the church as one who was a picture of John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah, who prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at this episode in his life, where he was hidden by the Lord. The Lord caused him, told him to go and hide. A prophet hidden. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing for the people. It's not good when the church is closed. It's not a good thing when there's a covering over the altar so that you can't pray, that the church is closed, there is no one there, nobody home. It's just an empty building. There's nobody there. That was the case there in Israel. God told Elijah, who was the servant of the Lord, who was the one who was the ambassador of the Lord, who was the one who spoke for the Lord, the Lord told him, "Go hide. Go hide." east of the Jordan, by the brook Cherith, and drink from the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there. But don't go back to the city. Don't go back to Ahab. Don't go back to the 7,000 who have not yet bowed down their knee to Baal. Don't go back there. And this was to last 3.5 years. That is what you call judgment. Where the word of God was first of all rejected, Ahab and his followers and Israel chose to follow Baal, chose to follow a false god who was no god at all, who they claim had ears but couldn't hear, mouth couldn't speak, legs couldn't walk. He was an idol, a worthless idol. And yet the people gave their attention and their worship to that idol, Baal and Ashtaroth. And that was the situation in Israel. And so God told Elijah, his prophet. Elijah was the bearer of the word. In Elijah, God was present. He was present through his office bearer. And God told him, I want you to get out of there. I want you to leave them right where they are. They have rejected me, the living God, and they have followed after worthless idols, and now I'm going to punish them by taking myself away. And the judgment is no rain, no dew, except at my word, says Elijah. And so Elijah, as the servant of the Lord, has the key. He's got the key to weather. He's got the key to whether it rains or not. It's in his hands. And so Elijah, the man of God, who is God's instrument there, is removed from the scene. And so that is the hiding of Elijah. It's judgment. It's judgment on the children of Israel. God, as it were, said, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you. And then you can cry all day long to Baal to give you rain. It isn't going to happen. Because Baal is nothing. A worthless idol. And yet you have put all of your hope in that idol. Now I'm going to show you. It's not going to work. But because you won't hear what my prophets say, you're going to have to feel it. You won't hear what I say, so you're going to have to feel it. So Elijah is sent away by God's command. And God said to Elijah, the word of the Lord came to him saying, depart from here. That's a horrible, horrible thing for the church. There was a church there, you know. God had said to Elijah under the juniper tree, who said, I alone am left, and now they seek my life to destroy it. And the Lord said, now listen, Elijah. There are still 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. So you're not alone. But here, God is removing his word from the people of Israel because they have rejected it. And so Elijah departs not out of fear of Ahab. He doesn't go because he's afraid of Ahab, nor because he's afraid of Jezebel. He goes because God is judging the people of Israel. And he removes his word from them. That's very sad. It's very, very sad. You know, when you look at our Lord Jesus Christ, he left, didn't he? He ascended into heaven. But before he ascended into heaven, he gave a command and he gave a promise. And his command was, go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he gave this promise. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the world. Jesus will never leave us. He will never depart from his church. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You are my people. He says in the book of Isaiah, a mother may forsake her nursing child, but I will never forsake you. Isn't that a great comfort? I'll tell you, that is a wonderful truth. But there is judgment here. And so Elijah leaves. Elijah leaves and he goes east of Jordan. And he finds the place where he is to be. It's right by the brook Cherith. The brook Cherith is a tributary of the Jordan River. That brook flows into the Jordan. And so there was water in the brook. And so Elijah could drink from the brook. And every day, twice a day, ravens came to feed him. Now a raven is a large bird. The bird from the beak to the end of the tail is 2 feet long. That's quite long. It's black. It has a shiny coat. They're birds of prey. They're strong birds. In fact, when Noah was in the ark, after the rain stopped, the first bird that he sent out of the ark was a raven. A raven is a strong bird. But the raven came back. So Noah knew that the water had not yet receded. But the raven is a very strong bird, and they're very numerous in countries of Europe and Asia. And they're very numerous in Israel, Palestine. And so the Lord said to Elijah, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now isn't that a beautiful thing to hear? God has commanded the ravens. So they're doing it at the command of God. You see, the Lord created all things. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the land and the sea. He created the trees and the grass. And he created the animals and the birds. And they are his creatures. And they follow his word. And the ravens were obedient to the voice of the Lord, and they knew exactly where to go. And they didn't leave any trail. Because there the ravens go in the sky, in the air, and maybe they land in a tree or land there, and then they came down to Elijah. They like saw Elijah, and they delivered him meat in the morning, bread in the morning, and meat and bread in the evening. Every day. Elijah lived out of the hand of the Lord, literally out of the hand of the Lord, through God's servants, the ravens. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God is in charge. He took care of his prophet by having his servants, the flying servants of the Lord, ravens. Feed him in the morning and in the evening with bread and meat. This same God commanded a fish to swallow Jonah. This same God commanded the lions in the lion's den in Daniel's day to be just like big kittens, who maybe rubbed their fur against the legs of Daniel, but did not harm him at all. The lions were servants of the Lord too. And so the Lord uses his creatures to do his will. And he calls us to do his will too. We are to obey him just like the ravens. And so Elijah is taken out of the community. He's taken out of the community because they had rejected the Lord, who is in charge of the community, who is to be worshipped by the people, who is to be honored and glorified, who is to be praised and followed and obeyed. They didn't do it. So the Lord says, okay, I'm out of here. Now, do you know, there was a time in the history of the church that there was a famine of the Word of God. In the book of Amos, we read about that famine. In Amos chapter 8, we read, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the word of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of God, and they shall not find it." That's judgment. The lost word in Amos 8. The streams of revelation were drying up, and there would be a famine of the word of God. Those who would not listen to the prophet God sent found now that there was no prophet to listen to. Dr. James I. Packer wrote a beautiful little book entitled God Has Spoken. And in that book, he writes about the fact that in the days of leading to the Reformation, there was that famine of the word too. The word was hidden in ritual. It was hidden. And it wasn't until Luther and Calvin and other great reformers were used of the Lord to open up the word again. There was a famine for the word in the days of the Reformation, and God gave that word back through his servants, Luther and Calvin and other reformers, and there was a great Reformation in the church. There's a famine for the word in other parts of the world today too. A famine for the word. That people are maybe going to church but are getting stones for bread. And the reason for the famine of the word is because the word of God has been undermined. That there are those who do not accept the inspiration and authority of the Word of God. St. Augustine said what the Bible says God says. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, you know that passage. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, every part of it, is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. It's breathed out by God so that what we have in our hands is the living Word of God. And when that Word is undermined by those who would accept the word of scholars or scientists who say, no, it can't be. It can't be. The Bible may contain the Word of God, but it is not the Word of God, says the scientist or the secular scholar. But we go to the Word, and in the Old Testament it says, thus saith the Lord. In the New Testament it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And in 2 Peter it says, holy men of God spake as they were carried along by the Word of God. And Peter says, we have a word more sure than the actual hearing of the Word of God on the mountain of transfiguration, because we have the living Word of God in our hands, the Scriptures. And when that Word is undermined, what happens? Preaching is undermined. Teaching is undermined. People go here and there, here, to and fro, trying to find a word from God, and there isn't any, because they have denied the Scriptures. That's a sad and terrible situation. But in Israel here you have God hiding his word out of judgment. But the Lord cared for Elijah. He cared for him by commanding. I have commanded. You notice that's what it says. I have commanded ravens to feed you there. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Can you believe it? What a beautiful statement. God commands the ravens. God commands you and me too. He commands us with his word, with his law. And the ravens are obedient. And we are called to be obedient as well. And the great servant of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, he came out of complete and total obedience to his Father. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself even to death, the death of the cross. All obedience to the word of his Father, who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus obeyed the Father's will. And he entered into this world of sin. He was rejected. He was spit upon. He was crucified for our sakes, and his blood was shed in obedience to his Father's will. And so Jesus is the ultimate example of obedience to his Heavenly Father, all for your sake. The ravens were obedient to God's command to feed Elijah. Jesus Christ is obedient to God's command to save us, to deliver us from evil, to strengthen us and to give us life in this world and life for all eternity. He doesn't only feed us like the ravens did, but he feeds us with the living Word of God. And so Lord's Day after Lord's Day, we come into the house of the Lord to be fed by the living, abiding, powerful Word of the living God. What a privilege it is. What a blessing to have the Word of God presented to us. It is the Word from him. And so he speaks to us and he gives us that wonderful Word of life. So Elijah, sitting at the brook, he was obedient to God's word, which said, go. Maybe Elijah would have loved to have stayed. Maybe he would have loved to have stayed there near Ahab, so that maybe, just maybe, Ahab would repent. Just maybe Ahab and Jezebel would say, you know, we've been wrong all the time. But no. They were stubborn, they were hard-hearted, they were in total agreement with their idols. And so God took himself out. God took himself out of Israel's life in the person of Elijah. And so the Lord tells Elijah to go, and he goes, even though maybe in his own heart he would have loved to stay and seen a reformation. But the Lord said, no, not yet. There's a Carmel coming. There's a Mount Carmel coming. But the people have to feel what they have lost. They have to feel it. And it's not until they feel it, not until they come to see their sin, that they will repent, and that I will come to them and I will give them rain. Mount Carmel is coming. When the people say, oh, the Lord Jehovah, he is God. That is what the Lord is aiming at. He's aiming at a reformation. But the people weren't ready for it. And so Elijah is told to leave. And he's at the brook. Probably not happy there. Or maybe he was happy there. Would you be happy? Would you be happy sitting there by the brook waiting, looking in the sky, seeing when the next meal is coming, and there, well, there comes a raven with bread and meat. Now you just wonder, it's in his mouth probably, or in his claws. I don't know quite how that went. But there it was in the morning, and there it was in the evening. But Elijah is tested. He is tested. Because the brook dried up. Because there was no rain. So what is Elijah to do? Is he going to follow the brook to the River Jordan where there is water? No, Elijah doesn't do that. He had been told to go and to remain at the brook Cherith until the Lord told him to go elsewhere. So he waits. And the brook dried up. And then the Lord tells him, as we're going to see next week, he tells him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. It wasn't that he dwelt at the brook. That was temporary. We don't know really exactly how long that was, but it was quite a while. And every day there was food for him, and he didn't have to find a place to store the food because the ravens took care of him in the morning and in the evening. Just like Israel in the wilderness, the Lord provided for them too. Manna in the morning and in the evening, there it was. Don't worry. What a great lesson that is for us. Don't worry. The Lord will provide. You remember what Paul says in that grand passage in Philippians 4. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a marvelous statement. That's like a blank check from the Lord. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know that word according to? It's very interesting. Dr. Hendrickson points out in his commentary on Philippians that the word, that the prepositional phrase, according to his riches, that according to commensurate with his riches. Now, for example, if some philanthropist would give a donation for some worthy charity and cause, and he gave out of his wealth, you'd have no idea if it'd be much or little. But if he gave according to his wealth, that would be commensurate with his wealth. And that's what Paul says about God's gifts to us. He said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." How rich is God? Well, look at how he cared for Elijah. He commands the ravens. He commanded the fish for Jonah. He commanded the lions to take care of Daniel. God is rich beyond compare. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and they that dwell therein, it's the Lord's. And what does Jesus say? "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." This is my Father's world. He cares for us. He knows our needs. Jesus said, now listen, in Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount, he said, listen, don't worry. Don't worry. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't worry. They don't toil. They don't spin. And yet God clothed them in more beautiful clothing than Solomon in all his glory. And look at the birds of the air. Look at the sparrows. Look at the robins now. You've seen robins here early March. I even saw them in the end of February. And then it snowed and I thought, what are the robins going to do? And yet the Lord somehow takes care of them. Jesus said, if the Lord takes care of the birds, isn't he going to take care of you, O you of little faith? Do not worry. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He directed Israel through the Red Sea. He directed Israel through the wilderness. He directed them and gave them manna from heaven. He gave them water from the rock. He gave them quails for meat. The Lord says, I care for you. Don't worry. I love you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, I draw you to myself. He is in charge. And so we can say, this is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings. And round me rings the music of the spheres. Maybe after the ravens gave the bread and meat, they sang, they whistled, they made beautiful sounds because they were obedient to the Father's command. And though this world seem all so wrong, God is the ruler yet. He's in charge because this is my Father's world. And he cares for me and he cares for you. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts this evening. Thank you for this beautiful story of Elijah being taken care of by the brook and by the ravens. Oh Lord, bless us this night. In Jesus' name, amen.